When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coffee, a podcast where product management leaders share stories, advice, and thoughts on all things product over a cup of coffee. Grab a cup of Joe and join us to level up your product career 30 minutes at a time. Today on Product Coffee, we have the pleasure of spending time with a highly accomplished entrepreneur with over a decade of experience in the health tech and e-commerce space. This person's journey includes co-founding and leading as chief product officer of two businesses. One successfully acquired, Unified Practice, and they are currently the co-founder and CEO of AlignWith, a company dedicated to transforming the collaboration between product teams and their go-to-market counterparts. Let's delve into their journey. Drumroll, Keenan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Yeah. Let's hear a little bit about your journey and your background. I gave a little context, but tell us more about yourself and your career so far.
I've lived many lives, I guess you could say, from photographer to musician to physician and now into product. So life's been a bit curly, and somehow everything I've done folds right into the next perfectly. Although at face value, they all seem like none of them connect. Getting into startups started as a physician where what I studied was traditional Chinese medicine. So I went to Taiwan, where I lived there for almost 4 years, figured out how to speak Chinese by going to school and feeling like, what the hell am I doing here trying to do this? My Chinese got proficient enough where I was able to get into a hospital. And that's where I saw the medicine being done full scale. It's moving very fast. And so you're seeing it in a way you never get to see here. And I was looking at how the hospital deals with their own traditional medicine. And they were using essentially Western medical workflows and nothing specific to Chinese medicine. And I couldn't stop dreaming up ways it could be better until I started wireframing. And instead of focusing on the patient, sometimes I'd be daydreaming about what could be happening if this situation had, you know, a software component to it. Eventually, I was sitting at a train station one day and someone walks by and asks me a question. I see this foreigner reading Chinese. Turns out their husband becomes the first investor in the company. I'll save the story for that. His name is Peter Ungureanu. He became the other co-founder, and we met up for lunch one day and I showed him what I was working on, and 3 months later, we came up with an Unified Practice, and that's where it all started.
Wow. So, and that it was that your first like startup-like experience?
I pitched it to people in the industry. They told me I was crazy. The industry would want to pay for it. Acupuncturists and Chinese medicine folks don't have money. Like, every reason why I shouldn't do it. But I didn't listen, and I guess it's a good thing I didn't. We built that product over 8 years, and that was so
8 years.
So I cut my teeth on probably like one of the harder things you could build.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you must have learned a lot. So diving into it the first time, like how do you recall like how long it took to build your first kind of product that was out in market in the customer's hands? Or
that process probably took us over a year and a half to build our V1.
Yeah.
Because you needed so much in an EHR. And we weren't trying to build everything overnight, but we knew we needed charting and we knew we needed scheduling. And when you look at how brick and mortar clinics work, there's so much complexity. Like, they're renting out room 5 every third Thursday for new patients only, doing just massage. And it's okay, you're building that kind of complexity into a scheduling software, not just, oh, I'll take Thursday at 5 a.m. Like, it wasn't like that. So
you had to learn a lot of those unique kind of rules and regulations for that specific sector, that product, that would enable you guys to actually, those customers to actually use it over time?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think having the experience of being a practitioner, right. I knew a lot of the problems up front.
That's good.
And yeah. I knew other practitioners and I knew their problems when it came to the clinic. So there's definitely value in building something for the problem that you know best. I'm sure you've heard it a million times. It's very true. It really helps.
Yeah, love that. So year and a half, rough and tough. And then you said your partner didn't know quite enough about the industry and had to learn. Where do they specialize in? Were they more in the tech side or?
We were so in over our heads. We were trying to do insurance processing and connect you to clearinghouses and charting and scheduling and everything that goes into an EHR.
Was this 8 years brute force getting that finished, or was there some aha within that 8 years that actually switched, or this gradual thing that, yeah?
I was wearing so many hats. So I was doing, like, in the beginning, obviously, like customer support. I was running customer success. I was responsible for onboarding and training. I was responsible for the product, and I was responsible for enterprise sales. And so I was jumping across roles. And I think I also had no sounding board. I didn't really have anyone in product I could talk to. Luckily, when I moved to Colorado, I found Colorado Product and met so many great people there where it's like therapy. I was like, oh my God, there's other people like me. And I felt great. But yeah, I think at some point I said, enough is enough. And we have to fill in these roles that I'm dealing with so I can focus on product. And that's where I really just focused and things took a turn for the best. But it took a year to turn that team around and for us to be like a really streamlined, fully functioning, data-driven product team. And of course, we weren't perfect. But we weren't making the mistakes we were making before.
Yeah. And did you do that by yourself? Who helped you get there?
I did it by myself, just reading books, getting pumped up by something I read, and just like...
Just trying to implement it?
Doing it. I was like, oh, heart metrics. Yeah, we're doing those, right? Like heart metrics right away. I just reading and then implementing and trying and seeing how it goes. And it took a year to get there, to really get the team polished, to get them in a groove and constantly maintain it so that you're not only always improving, but not falling back into like old patterns.
Yeah. And what makes you like more fascinated with these businesses? Do you like the building process, or it sounds like you love the process of getting to something that achieves product market fit and then, hey, you guys deal with it now. It's like the 0 to 1, like fixation. I love it. And there's a lot of folks that are like this.
It's what fires me up. And with product for me, it's a creative process and it's combined with obviously scientific methodology and data and research and all those other things that inform the art. But when I do stuff, I don't want it to look the same. I don't want it to, like, I love conceptualizing something that's different. And over the years, I've learned to put a little cement in those shoes so that it's more approachable for people, right? When I was a photographer, it was like, I was doing stuff that was like highly conceptual, where, for example, I rolled with a lot of graffiti writers and they couldn't show their face. A lot of graffiti writers walk around with a black book and they tag in each other's black book. And so I was like, I don't have a black book, so I'm going to create a light book. And I would take these famous graffiti writers, like Scene, who is a famous graffiti writer from New York City in the Bronx, and go to his studio, and he would tag my film with, I'd give him a flashlight. And I would mess around with how he was tagging by changing the focus back and forth so that the light would get thicker or thinner based on how I played with the focus. And And that's what I did. That's the kind of stuff that excites me. Who's doing a light book? And of course, take it a step further, I had to print those on clear vellums and build these wooden light boxes so that when I did my gallery show, they just glowed. I had these glowing tags from all these like amazing graffiti writers, all these amazing artists. And that excites me.
Yeah.
I'm like that with product, but I guess ties more into like problem solution and then getting that like creative process going when I'm dreaming up, like, how could this be solved? How is it being solved today? How could we do it better? How could we not be like anyone else? And that's a thing that I think where so much of the reward is beyond having financial success with these products. I love building stuff.
So I know a lot of creators or creatives struggle sometimes to actually find that niche, that thing that actually does work for them and that they can repeat, right? Like sometimes it's a flash in the pan, right? Or this, now it's silent for your example, you've had a successful photography business. You've gotten these galleries, right? It's hard to do. Being musicians too, absolutely. That is different type of kind of making, and you're not making for money there. Like that's purely for the art and the creative itch. But now when you pivot to something that is financially successful, it seems not so far off from the beauty of what I enjoyed about product is, right, it's the same type of work, right? It is the same type of work. It's just, it's monetarily financial and beneficial to do more of this type of work than it is to do that other work. And so I wonder, like, how did you actually click into it, right? Like, how did you find that? Was it finding the right partner to do this? Is it just enough iterations at bat to figure out what works? Was there a signal that stuck out to you to say, oh, this is going to make it, right? This is where I need to focus that harness that creative talent, that energy.
Yeah, I think the process is you're living the problem, right? And that's the first thing, right? It's born of frustration. I've got a unique ability to find a problem with everything. So it's in my DNA. So, you know, part of that is if you're really good at being bothered by problems or always seeing how things could be better, right? If that's like how you see the world, then there's a business in almost anything, right? If you care enough, and I cared enough about medicine, I cared enough about my peers, like the industry, like the medicine as a whole, to where when I saw that problem, we don't have a modern mobile EHR for Chinese medicine. That is so micro niche that it's the thing most everyone would ignore. And I didn't. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I think that's just something hooks you and you don't let go. Well, even when people tell you you should, it's not like they were wrong, right? There are those struggles with any customer.
Some of the core themes I just heard you say, you're living the problem. You live the frustration. It's something you care about because of that. And that is the thing that makes it keep going. You also called out something around this like segmentation of it, right? Like this niche segment. Because it is so specific to your frustration, it is naturally segmented, but that's how you start to build on top of it.
It's the opportunity of like the thing that people are ignoring the most. It's everyone's going to, all the money's there. Western EHR is going to compete with,
they're distracted,
know,
right?
That's not what I care about. I care about my medicine and my people in the medicine. And that's what just kept me going at it. When you study medicine like that, you're not doing it for the money. People who do health and wellness, who do acupuncture, Chinese medicine, they do it because they love it. They're not like, oh, I'm going to make millions of dollars doing this. And I didn't think about that when I was building the product. Of course, I was dreaming like, oh, in a year, I might be working from a beach in Costa Rica. No. Was not a year later.
What's driving you is that drive to solve this niche problem for these segments, this problem that's so close to you. How did you continue being able to go fight the fight to solve the problem? Did you get funding ahead of time? What kind of helped you make
it? It's because of Peter that it kept going. He took risk and I wasn't in a place to take financial risk because I just didn't have the money in my bank account. Yeah. I would have, but Peter was really pivotal part of keeping the thing going and driving the business and teaching me what I didn't know because he had done it before. And I guess was his apprentice in some ways, at least on the business side. And I possessed a unique skill that he didn't have. And I think that's what makes a great founding partnership. You don't want to find people exactly with the same skill set. Right? Get your sounding boards somewhere else. Find a co-founder, find a partner that does something that you either don't want to do or you just can't do. I'm sure everyone's heard this before, but I saw this work because he trusted me. I trusted him. And we just forged ahead. Just when we thought we were going to make payroll, we would.
Yeah, it's a hard job. It's a hard responsibility. But in the way that you speak about this, I wanted to touch on this because I know a lot of our listeners are in similar boats or aspiring to be a Keenan, to go through the things that you've done and had the successes that you have creatively. And I think there's an element that makes it sound so overnight or very lucky and easy, and which, again, this is a podcast. It sounds like that, right? But this is years and years in the making, where you're leaving yourself open to this chance opportunity, and when that does come across, like this person meeting you at the train, how to take advantage of it at the right time. So it's like this buildup of these skills, these creative power, and the right time, the right place, the right moment that actually makes these ventures possible.
It's being prepared, right? It's doing the work up front and not just having an idea and going, oh, I think this would be a great thing. Let me tell people about it. Put it somewhere, write it down, because that person might walk by starting a conversation and that ends up being a great friend, co-founder, an investor over the years. It's because I had things, like had some preparation.
Let's then steer a little bit now to Align With. So tell us a little bit more about what Align With is.
Align With at its core is a product management platform, but it's completely unique in its own way. Just imagine any other product management platform you've ever used. We do all those things. So collect user feedback, prioritize it, move it to your roadmap, take that roadmap and connect it to your strategy, product strategy, to company strategy, to mission vision. So you can't make a mistake. You're going to build true north. What makes it unique is that we take all that information and we output to your go-to-market teams low cognitive load content that aligns them to what you're building and why. So they don't feel overwhelmed by the content. And that's how they feel today. And we spend a lot of time putting that content together. So, you know, we want to free up the time of the PM to be able to do the research that we want to do. You know, that was a big motivator for why I wanted to do this. I wanted to give time back to my team and I wanted to make better business decisions. And to do that, I need to free them up. And you know, we can automate this communication part, at least the majority of it. And if we are going to have communication, let's have more meaningful ones and not dumb, like everything we're doing, the what and why, and expect you to remember it. And we want to give this information to the go-to-market team so they can go out there and do their best work, right? They can, you know, support and know our products well. You know, these are customer-facing teams and they need content that's not going to overwhelm them. You know, dumping release notes in Slack in the releases channel isn't the most productive thing, but it does check the box. We're trying to change it and we're trying to do it without giving PMs more work, which is why we're leveraging a product management tool to actually do it for them.
That's awesome. As a product leader or a product team member, like what would I get out of this tool? How would I use it? And what are the benefits I would get out of it?
I think high level, like as a product leader, what you're going to get out of it is that you're going to take a burden off your product team of having to create the content to keep your go-to-market teams informed about the business and product.
Teams also have product marketers in addition to product managers. And would this be a tool for product marketers? Would this replace the need for product marketers for maybe like startups that are running more lean? How are you positioning it today?
For the startups that have a bit more of a mature organization, they're going to have a PMM most likely. And our tool serves as another way of relieving the burden for a PMM, because what we're able to do is essentially gather that information from product, which is what they're doing, try like herding cats, trying to get the information to compile it and do the internal marketing. We help them do it so that they can focus more on actually marketing the product to paying customers or potentially paying customers, right?
Love it. And so it almost sounds like as a product marketing manager, you could use this to be your almost like a co-pilot, right? Like this AI co-pilot with to help be more efficient. And then as a product team that is running lean, it's also one of those co-pilots too. So it sounds like in either way, you might get different benefits and value out of this tool, depending on the size, shape of your organization and your need.
For product leadership, it's about freeing up your team so that they can be more strategic and help drive the business forward and not feel overwhelmed. For the PMs themselves, it's for us taking the burden away from them to have to do that work. Leveraging AI, automation, all the stuff that we baked into the platform, they get to focus on more strategic stuff and feel more value in the work that they do.
There's a lot of these little attention to details that I love with the tool. There's like a wolf theme as well. That's a fun, the howl and all this stuff. I think you mentioned this is out for release today. Can folks sign up?
Oh, yeah.
It's like slick. I think it's super easy to try out and just to see what you would get. You have some examples out of the gate too, which is nice, but I would encourage y'all, you know, listeners to, why not just go take a look at this thing. It's really low effort to get this amazing, interesting value experience that you can deliver to your teams and then try it out. And I think that would be awesome. We'll link it out in the show notes and folks can click out and try it and let us know what you think.
Yeah, please.
Two more questions for you. Yeah, and the first one, before we started the show today, we talked a little bit about customer support and how that fits within a product organization and team and your recent experiences with it. So what would you like to touch on with that? And we can go into some details and then we'll wrap us up for some homework after this.
Sounds great. For me, having an organization and building your classic support team, I'm not even calling them support. I'm literally making them a part of the product team. And the idea is that they're our investigators. They're our customer experience advocates, right? But what we're trying to do is not answer the question, but think like a PM. Understand why things went wrong, what they're actually trying to solve, and be a part of the solution, not just for the customer, but for the product, really gathering the information, being inquisitive, investigative versus, oh, let me tell you how to do that.
I've had a very similar structure in the last organization. We made this customer experience team, and that was the intent as well. I think there's a balance of them not being under the PM organization without proper product management training or support versus having that. And we experimented with both things. What we saw was that one of the teams kept creating hacky solutions on the sidecar, right? Like on the side to solve the problems for the customers, because it was just a team of scrappy individuals that were really super smart, but it just didn't have cohesiveness with the product vision or strategy of what the rest of the organization was doing. So the combination of these two things were very at odds, or the way, you know, we were doing it was very, it wasn't as integrated. And so I think looking back, that might have been something we would have done differently, be it in your shoes again, to think about how to, one, rebrand and refocus and recontext set, but then two, figure out a better integration process with those teams so that they work cohesively together. And then when they are scrappy to fix a problem, how does that then get elevated to the product team? And we were experimenting with process diagrams to figure out how that would work, one, to pay off the debt of accumulated technical debt and customer support issues. And then two, how to promote and advance those features that the experience team was generating. We never really quite nailed it, but I think we were close. We were on the way.
We're asking them to be less about solving a customer's problems and understanding how they got there. And that has to do with giving them some training that we get as PMs on how to ask questions, how to uncover stuff. And so you're giving them a bit of PM knowledge in their toolkit to be able to function. So I'm trying to set it up a different way now. We'll see what happens.
Well, that's exciting. Let's wrap up with some homework and then we'll talk plugs after that. You know, we kind of meandered a lot. I love it. I think it definitely can flow here. Some of the things that I took away about that preparedness, I really enjoyed that. So being prepared, keeping yourself open for that right magic moment. Think about that as a team, right? Even if you and your team are very close and working on things, like how can you all be prepared and be open to the right market conditions to really execute against your strategy. And so there's this personal level that as a person, how do you keep yourself open and ready? But then as a team, how do you do that as well? And so just think about that. See if there's some steps y'all can take as a team this week to put in motion that moves you closer to that.
When you build stuff too, have that openness to just stop looking at it what you thought it was. Could it be something else if you just tweaked a few things? So yeah, I don't know if that helps.
Absolutely. Where can our listeners find you, support you? We'll have a line within the show notes, but yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You can find me on LinkedIn. It's Kenan Akbas, KenanAkbas. I'm sure there's not a lot of others like me. You can find me there. You can reach out to me at Kenan, KENAN, @alignwith.io.
Well, we'll link both of those out and all the fun show notes in there. And thank you so much for coming on, Kanan. This is a great conversation. And yeah, I would love to have you back and talk about how the customer support change has gone and how many tinkers, how many shifts and pivots that you've taken.
I'll come up with some catchy name by then, I promise.
Yeah, love it. All right, well, thanks again, man. It looks like we finished up our coffee, so go level up.
This has been Product Coffee, produced and engineered by me, Kevin Gentry. You can now record a voice message and send us ideas or topics to cover, and who knows, we might end up playing it on the show. You can also become a supporter of Product Coffee by contributing a monthly donation to help us sustain future episodes. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Product Coffee on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.